Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Gopi Jana Vallabha Girvana Dhare Gopi Jana Vallabha Girvana Dhare Soda nanana, braja jana ranjana. Yes, soda nanana, braja jana ranjana. Jamuna tira, anacharya. Jamuna Tira Anacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Gopi Jana Vallabha Girvana Dhare Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girvana Dhare Soda Nanana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda nanana braja jana ranjana Jamuna tira anacharya Jamuna tira anacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Gopi Jana Vallabha Girvana Dhare Gopi Jana Vallabha Girvana Dhare Soda nanana, braja jana ranjana Yes, soda nanana, braja jana ranjana Shamunatira on a chariot. Shamunatira on a chariot. Chayorada Madhava Kundabhyaria. Jayo Radha Madhava Kundabhyare. Jayo Vishnupad Paramhang Saparavidakacharya Asadhera Siddhushi Shriman. His Divine Grace, Shalasi, Bhaktivedanta Swamira, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Gaur, glorious the Assembled Devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Garanga, Namah Om Vishnu, Vidaya Krishna Purista, Budai, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamita Namani, Namaste, Saraswatam Deve, Gaur Avani Pacharne, Nirvise, Sashun Nivadi, Paskatya, De Siddharne, Om Aganativanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Shaksu Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Jaitanimano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Stra Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purujana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Svitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8, Chapter 3. Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, text number 2. Shri Gajendra Vacha. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai. Yata Etat Chidatmakam. Purushad Yadi Bijaya. Pareshaya Bidimahi Shri Gajendra Uvacha Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Etat Chit Atmakam Purushayadi Bijaya Pareshaya Vidimahi Shri Gajendra Vacha Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Etat Chit Atmakam Purushayadi Bijaya Pareshaya Vidimahi Shri Gajendra Vacha
Gajendra, the king of elephants, said,
Om, O my Lord.
Namaha.
Namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tasmai, unto him. Yata, from whom? Etat, this body and the material manifestation. Chit Atmakam is moving due to consciousness. The spirit soul. Purushaya, unto the Supreme Person. Adibijaya, who is the origin or root cause of everything. Paraishaya, who is supreme, transcendental and worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva. Abhidhimahi, let me meditate upon him. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudev, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of spirit, and he is therefore the root cause of everything. He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva, and he has entered the heart of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. Purport. In this verse, the word etat chit atmakam are very important. The material body certainly consists only of material elements, but when one awakens to Krishna consciousness understanding, the body is no longer material, but spiritual. The material body is meant for sense enjoyment, whereas the material spiritual body engages in the transcendental service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee who engages in the service of the Supreme Lord and who constantly thinks of him should never be considered to have a material body. It is therefore enjoined, Gurushu Naramati, one should stop thinking of the spiritual master as an ordinary human being with a material body. Arche Vishnu Shiladi. Everyone knows that the deity in the temple is made of stone. But to think that the deity is merely a stone is an offense. Similarly, to think that the body of the spiritual master consists of material ingredients is offensive. Atheists think that the devotees foolishly worship a stone statue as God and an ordinary man as the guru. The fact is, however, that by the grace of Krishna's omnipotence, the so-called stone statue of the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the body of the spiritual master is directly spiritual. A pure devotee who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service should be understood to be situated on the transcendental platform. Sagunan simititayatan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Let us therefore offer our obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose mercy so-called material things also become spiritual when they are engaged in spiritual activity. Omkara pranava is a symbolic sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho Brahmanas Trivida Smrita. The three words Om Tat Sat immediately invoke the Supreme Person. Therefore, Krishna says that he is Omkar in all Vedic mantras, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. The Vedic mantras are pronounced beginning with Omkar to indicate immediately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, begins with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There is no difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, and Omkara, Pranava. We should be careful to understand that Omkara does not indicate anything nirakara or formless. Indeed, this verse immediately says, Om Namo Bhagavate. Bhagavan is a person. Thus, Omkara is a representation of the Supreme Person. Omkara is not meant to be impersonal, as the Mayavadi philosophers consider it to be. This is distinctly expressed here by the word Purushaya. The Supreme Truth addressed by Omkara is Purusha, the Supreme Person. He is not impersonal. Unless he is a person, how can he control the great stalwart controllers of the universe? Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva are the supreme controllers of this universe, but Lord Vishnu is offered obeisances even by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Therefore, this verse uses the word Pareshaya, which indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by exalted demigods. Pareshaya means Parameshvara. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are Ishvaras, great controllers, but Lord Vishnu is Parameshvara, the Supreme Controller. Shri Gajendravacha Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Etat Chiratmakam Purushayari Bijaya Pareshaya Bidimahi. The king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of spirit, and he is therefore the root cause of everyone. He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva, and he has entered the heart of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Vidaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarane. In this verse, there are different philosophical points that are explained. The first being that what is the difference between matter and spirit? And the difference is explained in the Bhagavad Gita also, in the verse, Brahmarpanam Brahmahayavir Brahmagno Brahmahutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahmakarma Samadina. The work of a person who is unattached to the modes of material nature and is fully absorbed in transcendence. That's the previous verse. For him, the consummation is absolute. A person who is fully absorbed in devotional service, a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. And previous to that, the verse is Gata Sangasya Muktasya Jnanavastita Chetasaha Yajyaga Charata Karma Samagram Praviliyate. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains that the more the activities of the material world are performed for Vishnu and for Vishnu only, the more the whole atmosphere becomes completely spiritualized by complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. The example is used that Krishna is just like fire, ekadasya sitasya agya, that just as fire is in one place, but it expands its heat and light everywhere. Ekadasya sitasya agya, joshnad vistarami Vishtarni tata yata. Parasya brahmana shaktis tatedam akilam jagat. So Krishna, he's in one place, but his energies are expanding everywhere. For instance, right now we're situated in his energy, called the material energy. And it's called material energy because in conditioned life, it's utilized for the sense gratification of the living entities. And according to the degree of utilization for sense gratification, it's said to be situated in one of the three modes of nature, either goodness, passion, ignorance. Just like the further a metal rod is from the fire, then the cooler it becomes. But the closer the metal comes to the fire, then it gets hotter and hotter. And when it's actually in the fire, it eventually takes on the same qualities as the fire has. So although it remains metal, still it acts like fire. Similarly, this material nature, when it's separated from Krishna's association, then it's said to be in the three modes of nature. But when it's utilized in Krishna's service, and the devotee is meditating upon Krishna, then by such transcendental meditation, Krishna is factually present, and by his presence, the material nature becomes spiritualized. Because from Krishna comes bliss and knowledge. So therefore, the material nature becomes spiritualized just like iron put into the fire. Therefore, the difference between matter and spirit is a question of consciousness. It's a question of the soul being conscious of Krishna. In other words, although Krishna is everywhere in his form of Paramatma, but when the soul is reciprocating with Krishna in transcendental love, then in that reciprocation, the material nature becomes spiritualized. So, by devotional service, the devotee can transform matter to spirit. But when things are utilized for sense gratification, then the material nature is covered by maya or illusion. So therefore, absolute truth covered by maya or illusion is called matter. And matter dovetails with the service of the Supreme Lord, regains its original spiritual nature. Therefore, the offering, the contribution, everything, when utilized in Krishna's service, becomes one in the absolute or spiritual. So Rupa Goswami has said, Iha yasya harer dasye, kamana manasa gira, nikilas yavavasa su jivan muktas uchite. That iha yasya harer dasye, that when one utilizes one's body, one's mind, one's words in the service of the Supreme Lord, then everything is said to become spiritual. Jivan muktas uchite. So the soul becomes liberated from all material conceptions. In other words, material existence exists primarily due to our conception that there's something apart from Krishna. And as soon as we think that there's something apart from Krishna, by utilizing things that for our sense gratification, then we become covered by maya or illusion. And as soon as we utilize the same energy, whatever it may be, our body, our mind, our words, in Krishna's service, then they become spiritualized. And they help us come back to our original stage of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, anyone, here it says, spiritual master doesn't mean simply some official position. Spiritual master means one who's fully engaged in devotional service. For such a person, it is said that his body is spiritual. Just like we have the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela to show us how spiritual can act in the material world. For instance, there is one devotee whose name is, Goridas Pandit? Actually, I forget his name now. There's so many devotees. One of them, he was Abhiram Thakur. There's one, Abhiram Thakur, he used to snap his whip. And just by hearing the whip, the sound of the whip, people would develop Krishna prema. And there's another devotee, he was so ecstatic that he used to go into the forest, and if he found a tiger, he'd slap its face. Such activities are not to be imitated by neophyte devotees. And sometimes we find venomous pythons and other kinds of snakes, venomous cobras, and he put them on his lap and play with them. And at times he'd enter into the water and chant Hare Krishna underneath the water for 3 days at a time. I'm sure he finished his rounds. Probably had a lot of service to do. want to finish his rounds without disturbance. So such activities show us how, even with a material body, one can remain in spiritual consciousness, unaffected by ahara, nidya, maituni, bhavam, bhayam, cha. Therefore, the more one utilizes one's body in Krishna's service, then the more one can actually see the difference in one's activities. In other words, spiritual life means full of knowledge, full of bliss, and eternal. Of course, this body can never be itself blissful. It is temporary. It itself is dead energy or ignorance. But when it's dovetailed in Krishna's service, it doesn't at least impede the activities of the soul. As Narada Muni, when he was meditating on Lord Vishnu within his heart, he said every part of his body became separately enlivened in transcendental ecstasy, just ready or prepared to serve the Supreme Lord. So in contact with Krishna, the material nature becomes qualitatively equal to Krishna. It becomes spiritualized and is just appropriate to serve the mission of the Supreme Lord. So there are many other examples of devotees, just like when Lord Nityananda was with many young children for 1 month, they were so enlivened in his association playing different transcendental pastimes that they forgot to eat and sleep. And sometimes in their ecstasy of playing with Lord Nityananda, they grab hold of big trees and yank them out of the ground. And some of them were so enlivened by playing with Lord Nityananda that some of them climbed up on the trees and began to dance on the little twigs on the trees. So this is called transcendental enlivenment. So when we see that the devotees are doing that, then we can know that they've made a lot of advancement. Or at least they're getting a lot of mercy from Lord Nityananda. Therefore, although we may be somewhat doubtful about these activities, but anyone who's participated in, anyone who's become absorbed in devotional service, he can see what is the difference in one's activities. For instance, sometimes we can see that during this marathon, some of the devotees, like Harinamananda, for a week at a time, is distributing 500 Maha Big Books every day. And getting donations for them too. So this cannot be an ordinary thing. One goes out and tries to hand out 500 big books. One will find it difficult. Just to stop people to take a book, even for free, is not so easy. What to speak of getting donations for them. So this is all under the energy of Krishna, the internal energy, that it is said that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even though it's a difficult thing, becomes easy. But if one doesn't get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the easiest thing becomes very difficult. That even a lame man can cross a mountain, even a blind man can see stars in the sky. Therefore, we offer our obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praying for his cause's mercy. Another point made here is that Omkar means Krishna. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Omkar is A-U-M. A means Krishna, U means Srimati Radharani, and M means the living entities. So Omkar is the representation of Krishna. It's more or less officially addressing Krishna. Just like you may address someone, your honor. So Omkar is more of an official, generally an official way of addressing Krishna. But we should not, like the impersonalist thing, that it's impersonal. All the Vedas, they begin with Omkar. This is called the Mahavakya, or the principal word in the Vedas. That is, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedais cha saraham ameva vedyo. Vedanta vid Vedakrit eva chaham. That all the Vedas are meant to bring us to the lotus feet of Krishna. Although they may prescribe different duties for different persons and different levels of consciousness, but ultimately they're meant to elevate one to the platform of dedicating one's energies to Krishna. If there is any result that comes from chanting the Vedic mantras or from serving them, it's because Omkar is included within the mantra. In other words, as Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheswaram. If Krishna is satisfied, even by some small effort, such as chanting Omkar, performing the Vedic sacrifices dedicated to him, then there's some possibility of result being there. But if something is done without direction, without Krishna's satisfaction, if Krishna doesn't sanction the result, then the result is fruitless. Or one may even get a negative result. Therefore, Jaga Vai Vishnu, all activities are actually meant for Krishna's satisfaction. Those who know it, they can get some benefit, and those who don't know it, they're uselessly wasting their time. Although Krishna is so kind that if one chants Omkar, although one may think it's impersonal, but still Krishna will still give some result. So here it says that Omkar, Krishna, he's worshipped by even Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. That they're not the controllers of the universe. Therefore we'll find out that Gajendra, he doesn't exactly know who the Supreme is. But at least he knows it's not Shiva and Brahma. Therefore he prays to the Supreme, whoever it may be. And because he's praying like that, at least Shiva and Brahma and the other demigods, they know that he's not addressing their prayers to him. He wants someone beyond Shiva and Brahma. Of course, probably Shiva or Brahma could have come and killed the crocodile too. Maybe they would have gotten entangled. It's a very powerful crocodile. But probably they could have killed the crocodile. But they would not have been able to award Gajendra any ultimate benediction. As we find out that Gajendra, he's intelligent enough to know that ultimately the crocodile is only one problem that we have in this material, that he had in the material world. But ultimately, if it's not one crocodile, it's another crocodile. That the only person who can possibly save us from all these problems in material existence is Lord Vishnu. Because he's Muktipada. Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakan ridvag vapu vir vididanamaste jiveta san mukti sadaya bhak. Mukti pade. That Lord Vishnu is the only one who can reward liberation from this material miseries, this material existence. Therefore, the devotees, they take shelter of Krishna in all circumstances. Not that only when there's some difficulty I take shelter of Krishna, and when the difficulty passes, then I'm back in the spirit of enjoyment. That he's only my friend, I only take shelter when there's some problem to solve, and after that, then, you know, I thank him a lot and I go back to my own ways. But one should, under all circumstances, try to take shelter of Vishnu, realizing that this material world is miserable, that we're all about to die, we're all suffering at every moment, simply different degrees of suffering, and the only solution to our problems is to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. So today is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami, is that right? It's the disappearance day. So Jiva Goswami, who's Jagadish Pandit? Does anyone know? Jiva Goswami, of course, he's one of the six Goswamis. He's the nephew of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And he compiled the greatest number of Vaishnav verses, texts. Especially he's famous for his Sat Sandarbha, the Tattva Sandarbha, the Priti Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, and Bhakti Sandarbha. So these Sandarvas, they give us the most complete explanation of Vaishnava philosophy. And Prabhupada mentioned that he's considered the greatest philosopher in history. By reading his literature, one will definitely come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and devotional service is the ultimate goal of life. He was beheaded after the disappearance of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. He became the head of the Vaishnavas. And it was under his direction that the books of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and other exalted Vaishnavas were distributed by Narottam Das, Srinivas, and who's the other one? Shyamananda. They took the books and they started to distribute them. So following those footsteps, our movement is trying to also distribute literature like that, Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books of the Goswamis. So we should pray to Jiva Goswami to give us his mercy, that we can understand his books, and at the same time be empowered to be able to distribute them to others. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes.
So from Krishna comes to Paramjyoti, and then from Paramjyoti to Jiva Goswami, the transformation of that. So how does Paramjyoti explain once that my parties, if they meditate, they want to give up their consciousness, their existence, they become matter. So can we understand that when he says, can we understand that matter is very unconscious spirit?
Well, at least we know unconscious spirit becomes just like matter. So if you take it the other way around. I mean, it says that Krishna has different energies. But ultimately everything is personal. But material nature, Maya, for instance, she's a person too. But she's quite conscious. But those living entities who forget Krishna, they become just like dead matter. Or they become like dead, and that's called matter. Still, there are different energies. It's not that there's some energy which is unconscious. There's the living entities which are conscious, but they become just like unconscious. The more they become absorbed in matter. Therefore, they're called marginal. No, of course not. Of course, Krishna wants it to, it can. Because Krishna appears within the material nature, so. But it's not that the material nature becomes conscious. Otherwise, where's the meaning that we're conscious of matter? Matter is not conscious of us. It's not one day you talk to your hand and you say, you know, it's about your hand never tells you it's about time you became Krishna conscious. Or the hand doesn't say, I don't like your association. I think I'll find another soul to associate with. No, that's the difference between matter. Matter is unconscious and spirit is conscious. But within matter, there's the living entity and there's the soul, the super soul. And he's conscious of everything. We're limitedly conscious. So there may be a soul within a stone and he's conscious of the stone. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.